Shalom, everyone. The latest news on the hostage negotiations is good and yet bad. Yemen has launched a strike into Israel, and they got hit by Israel as a result. The Palestinian Authority is attempting to curb West Bank terror, and the status of the Israeli Hezbollah ceasefire, while it's still holding, other things are happening. Iran is enriching even more material to build more nuclear weapons. Messianic World Update begins now. Hello, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, December the 20th of the year 2024. And here's the news for the week. There are intensive efforts to get the hostages back. Joe Biden is running out of time for his administration to accomplish that. He has sent the CIA director over to Qatar. Qatar and Egypt are working diligently to try to work with the Hamas elements to try to negotiate a settlement with them and to get hostages back. And in fact, the Trump negotiators that are scheduled to work in the Middle East, they're even joining the Biden negotiators. So there's an intensive effort on the part of the U.S. and others to try to get something going on the hostage release. Israel is offering some interesting concessions to sweeten the pot to get Hamas to agree. One of those is maybe opening the Rafah crossing into Egypt, which would allow a lot of Palestinians to be able to escape that need to escape and for other support to come in to help the Palestinian people from Egypt. And that's a big piece of the negotiations on the part of Israel. Plus the withdrawal of some of the IDF forces to allow the Palestinians to go back into their homes again. The plan, as we understand it, is a staged plan. There's a humanitarian element of it in which the first release of hostages, approximately 34 of them, primarily are women and smaller children, to get them back, but it doesn't immediately release soldiers and other military-age men. And there's a lot of concern on the part of the hostage families concerning that. They obviously want everyone released, and of course Israel would like everyone released, but at the moment that's the negotiation that's going on. Now, how quickly can this happen? There are some who are saying maybe by the end of this month. That was the word last week, but just this week, just late in this week, one of the negotiators talking to the Hamas operators said they may still be weeks away. I would remind everyone that President-elect Trump has said that they better be released by the 20th of January. I don't know if that's their definition of weeks away or not, but that's the pressure going on trying to get the hostages released, a partial ceasefire. One of the things that we can definitely tell you, though, is that the IDF is not going to be leaving Gaza, and Hamas is not going to survive this, and I think Hamas is finally recognizing that. That's the reason why there's a little light at the end of the tunnel as far as the negotiations. The Houthi rebels are still very active, and they launched a big ICBM missile into Israel. Israel was successful in shooting it down. However, the debris and the warhead that was part of the missile fell, and it fell on top of a school in Israel, and it collapsed the school building. Nobody was in the school, so no one was hurt, but it did severely damage the school that was in there. Israel responded with a whole series of airstrikes, and for Israel to make airstrikes into them, they have to use long-range tankers, and it's a major military operation flying all the way down the length of the Red Sea to be able to get down to them. Israel did go down and do it. They hit all three ports that the rebels used, the Houthi rebels used there in Yemen, and put them out of business, essentially blowing up all their fuel depots, hit the headquarters for the Houthi rebels, hit weapons depots that they use against anti-ship weapons and trying to knock out some of their long-range missiles. The U.S. is still there, off the coast, trying to keep track of the Houthi rebels and protect ships going through the shipping lanes. But this was an activity that was of significance by the IDF themselves. The Israeli Air Force struck those. I would expect more strikes coming from Israel against them. I don't know that this is going to end up in a stalemate, but one of the things that we know for sure is the Houthis are not going to be getting any more help from Iran by knocking out those ports and those areas, because that was the supply point for Iran to resupply the Houthi rebels. The Palestinian Authority under Mahmoud Abbas is trying to change his ways, and he has directed the Palestinian Authority security services, the police department that they have, to start taking control of the city of Jenin again. This is the most northern Palestinian city in Samaria there. And in the last year, the terrorists have taken control of it. Specifically, there's a refugee camp in the middle of the city where Palestinians have come in from all the different locations, and they turned that into a hotbed for terrorism. Well, the Palestinian Authority security forces have now surrounded the city of Jenin. They're limiting people in and out, and they're trying to address the refugee camp in the middle, and they're taking on the Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad fighters that are at that refugee camp. The IDF is also getting involved with that by, they did a drone strike this last week, killed six of the operators that was in that area. And more IDF forces are being assigned to that area of the West Bank to help control and keep terrorists from leaving those cities, going into Israel and attacking Israelis. If you remember, the last few weeks, there's been ramming attacks, there's been stabbing attacks, shootings at a bus and so forth. Israel is trying to get control of that. And the Palestinian Authority, under the leadership of Mahmoud Abbas, is apparently stepping up now and attempting to curb the violence going on by the part of the Palestinians. Israel and Hezbollah, the ceasefire that Joe Biden and other nations put in effect, is still holding. Well, let me put it this way, in name only. Because Israel this last week struck the Hezbollah headquarters, took out their about a dozen Hezbollah fighters, and the new group that are trying to reconstitute leadership for Hezbollah. But as you all know, this ceasefire was only for 60 days. It only lasts as long as Biden is as president. So there's great concern about what is going to happen at the end of the 60 days when President-elect Trump takes over and the ceasefire essentially is no longer in effect. However, the IDF is anticipating and they're looking forward to holding Hezbollah to account. And at the moment, they're positioning themselves regardless of whether the ceasefire is in effect or not. As a result, Israelis in the northern cities are a little bit hesitant to return back to their homes, even though the government has said they can do so. Some of the mayors up there are very concerned about the remaining Hezbollah elements. The government of Israel is trying to reassure them that they're up there, they're going to maintain control of it. But it's still a very serious area up there, and the citizens are again frightened of an October 7 type attack where Hezbollah fighters would come across the border. At the moment, the plan is for the IDF to back away and to keep Hezbollah north of the Latani River and to allow there to be a buffer by Lebanese army troops being between Israel and Hezbollah. And there's a hope that that's what blocks an October type 7 attack. Looking back on this whole situation, it just came out this week, the analysis did. Apparently, Biden and his foreign policy people told Israel that they should on no wise attack Hezbollah, that they would not be successful. They would never be able to overcome Hezbollah. They would never be able to successfully deal with the situation, that they needed to just hold back and have like a stalemate. Well, thank goodness Israel and Netanyahu did not listen to that counsel, and they went in, and as you know, historically in the last few weeks, They went in and hit the Hezbollah headquarters in Beirut, eliminated the entire leadership cycle of Hezbollah, captured and destroyed half of their weapons, killed a whole bunch of the Hezbollah fighters, and now are in control of the situation. And Hezbollah is high and dry, trying to recover, and they're back on their heels. Again, it's another example of that Biden and his foreign policy and concerning the Middle East has been wrong on every occasion. And his foreign policy, of course, was don't to everybody. Don't Israel, don't Hezbollah, don't Iran. Nobody listened to Biden, and this is what we've had as a result of the last year. Well, maybe we won't have to deal with the Biden foreign policy anymore, because President-elect Trump, I'm sure, is going to have a new policy for the Middle East, one that supports Israel and deals with terrorists as they should be dealt. The IDF is rooting out the last elements of Hamas down in Gaza. They are increasing the aid going into the Palestinian people, trying to keep it away from the Hamas fighters. There's an acute water shortage in some of the Palestinian cities in Gaza, and that's causing great concern. Not quite sure how they're going to handle that, because trucks can't be hauling in water. They need to find a different way to get water into those communities. You can be assured that the IDF is definitely not going away. They are going to be remaining in Gaza for some time. There's extensive damage in many of the areas where Hamas fighters used to be. The buildings are unstable. They've been bombed and hit. And in fact, this last week, a couple of IDF soldiers in and around those were harmed. They were killed, in fact, by a building collapse that was in that area. The IDF is still finding more tunnels and destroying them, and also finding items that were stolen from Israel way back October 7th and getting those items returned. As to what those exactly are, I'm not sure, but that's what they're reporting. They've also gotten documents and learned about what Hamas was doing all along, which we talked about, and that is that the death tolls that they were reporting were inflated by thousands, that there were clearly less deaths caused by the IDF. And in fact, there was a bunch of people that just died of natural causes, old age and other thing. And all of that got lumped in to the death toll figures and so forth to inflate the numbers. Again, Hamas was doing the public relations thing against Israel and lying through their teeth. The other element that we've also discovered that was a bunch of lies was the UNWAR leaders. The UN World Relief Organization that was building schools and supposedly helping the Palestinian people, and all the nations were donating into that special UN agency to help them there. Well, it turns out now the records are clear that the leaders of UNWAR were Hamas operatives. And in fact, one of the guys that was in charge of the biggest UN school there in Gaza for the Palestinians was a leading Hamas operative, and basically all the nations of the world are now recognizing they were giving money to Hamas. So several countries have just this week announced that they're no longer donating money to the UN relief agency, the UNWAR, and they're going through other relief agencies to assist the Palestinian people. Israel, of course, has ruled that UNWAR will no longer be permitted to operate in Israel or have anything to do with them there if they remain in Gaza. But the UN is now severely embarrassed by the fact that their agency turned out to be a Hamas terrorist covert organization. Iran has also this week announced they're increasing their enrichment program. They have put in some new centrifuges, and they are cranking them up, and they're trying to enrich as much uranium as they can. So let's talk about that subject for just a little bit. For medical purposes and for civilian purposes, you only need to enrich the uranium to about 12 to 13%. If you go beyond that, it's not for civilian purposes. Iran is announcing they're enriching up to 60%. That's a short step away from weapons grade, which is 90%. And so it's clear that their enrichment program is to build the material for nuclear weapons. Many of the nations around the world that were part of the peace agreement and the agreement that we were forming with Iran, that they are all backing off and saying this agreement is defunct, it's not working. Iran is on the cusp of having nuclear weapons, and there's no need to have that organization, which was the major Obama effort, if you recall. It is believed that Iran has enough material with the short-term enrichment to build more than a dozen nuclear weapons, and it won't take them very much longer to enrich up to that level. In the final assessment, besides the nuclear material, they still need to build the necessary triggering device that would set the weapon off, and they need to be able to mount it on a missile. Those are a couple of technical shortfalls they have at this point. However, the Russians are helping them with this in exchange for their drones. And Russia does know how to build the triggers and does know how to mount them on missiles. So essentially, Iran is on the brink of building nuclear weapons. As you know, Israel has announced that the moment that they believe they're going to get them, they're going to hit them. And the U.S. foreign policy position is they will not permit Iran to have those weapons as well. Last week, I mentioned to you that there is the hint of the possibility now might be the time for Israel to go over and strike Iran and take out their nuclear program. One thing is for certain, that Syria no longer has air defense to keep Israel from flying through that airspace to Iran. And also the Iran itself doesn't have an air defense system to defend themselves against a Israeli airstrike against them as well. With President-elect Trump coming in, he was already thrown the question out as to whether or not the U.S. would be interested in helping to take out a preemptive strike of the nuclear material there in Iran. He fended the question off by saying it was a totally inappropriate question for him to answer with yes or no, and he's not making that kind of a decision while he's still not the president, and there's a lot more to the whole thing about dealing with Iran, but it's hanging out there in the balance. Is Iran shifting gears? And their missile program is not working, so are they thinking they want to go for the ultimate weapon of a nuclear weapon to threaten with that? There's no question that Iran is trying to figure out how do they go forward in the future, and that probably fits into their thinking. And of course, other nations like Israel, like the United States, have stated we cannot accept that to happen. Those are things we're going to be watching very closely early next year. There is continuing to be anti-Semitic attacks continuing all around the world. That synagogue that was firebombed in Australia got firebombed again this last week, even though it's been stated by the government of Australia as being a terrorist attack. There's other synagogues that have been defaced, and another one up in Montreal was firebombed. Besides individual Israelis being threatened in various places in the world, and the government of Israel is warning Israeli tourists and other their citizens maybe get out of those areas. There's no question that anti-Semitic activity is springing up in the world, here in the United States and other nations. Europe is becoming extremely dangerous, and the Jews over there are having to be very careful. So let's talk about what's going on in Syria. As you know, the Syrian rebels last week captured and sent Bashar Assad, the leader of the Alawites, who had been controlling Syria for more than five decades, and sent him off to Russia, and the Syrian rebels have now taken control of the Syrian area. The IDF is still continuing to go in and strike military hardware that used to belong to the Syrian army and storage areas of weapons, things that could be used by a new rebel group or new terrorist group that takes over in Syria. In particular, Israel went up and struck in northern Syria up near the port, a city of Tartus, along the coast. And they were able to hit some of those targets. Now, that's some of the same area where the Russians have been at. And the Russians are withdrawing. I'm not sure they're going to withdraw everything from Syria. They're hoping to work something out with the Syrian rebels as to what's going to happen with them. Some of the IDF forces are still in southern Syria, setting up a safety border corridor so that no rebels come across, no terrorists come across attacking northern Israel from that angle. But the real question is, what's the future of Syria look like? The Syrian rebels who've taken control are very conciliatory. They're talking about very positive things from a Western world standpoint. Let me talk a little bit about what they're actually saying and what is raising interesting eyebrows about this. Some U.S. diplomats have been dispatched to Syria to talk to these rebels to see how real some of this stuff is. So let me go through and explain a little bit of what they've been saying. They're talking about that the ancient conflict between the Sunnis and the Shiite Muslims, and it's the Shiites that is the Iranian factions. The Sunnis are the much more moderate factions. The Sunnis are the rebels, and they want all the Shiite influences out. That means they want Hezbollah out, they want Iran out, and of course they've already removed the Alawites, which was a small faction of Muslims controlled by Bashar Assad. So one of the Sunni rebel leaders made the interesting statement that he would love to see the day come that an Israeli flag would be flying over an embassy in Damascus. Now, that sounds like the restore of relations with Israel, and no longer would Syria be at war or a hostile neighbor to Israel. So the word of that is very positive. However, the question is, can they pull it off? The one element that's kind of the monkey wrench here is that Turkey has been involved with these rebels, and Turkey is trying to influence them as to what they do with their government. Obviously, Turkey wants a stronger relationship with Syria because Turkey has a very specific agenda. They want to go after the Kurdish rebels and the Kurds that are over in northeastern Syria. And Turkey considers the Kurds to be their enemies for it. The U.S. is trying to use the Kurds to help them in dealing with the ISIS. And so there's complications in all of these things as to what will be happening with Syria. At the moment, things are trending in a positive way, but we'll just have to see if whether or not they can pull it off. And I'm very suspicious of what Erdogan of Turkey wants to do with Israel leveraging Syria. We'll have to see how that goes. The drones flying over American cities, particularly over New Jersey that we heard about last week, apparently has kind of calmed down. It turns out that we finally got enough official statements out that all the drones, apparently they're flying around, they're all lawful. They're all following the necessary laws they're supposed to be doing. There's no threat perceived that's going on. It's just a lot of curiosity about why was there such an intensive element and everybody focused in on something that apparently had been happening for a while. What may have triggered all of this activity, though, is another story that the government is being very quiet about. Apparently, there was a shipment of nuclear waste. And a lot of people don't know this, but nuclear power plants have nuclear waste, and it has to be gathered up in special containers, and there's special convoy shipments to where it's taken, where it's given an ultimate storage location. Well, apparently, there was a nuclear waste shipment that just before all this drone activity that took place, that made a trip through New Jersey going to one of these places where it's supposed to be stored. And when they arrived, they suddenly discovered it had sprung a leak and that it had lost the nuclear waste material in transit going to the place. Now, let me assure everybody, the nuclear waste material that we're talking about was not super dangerous. It just has to be treated and handled correctly. There was no immediate harm. If it got sprayed out on a highway, it wasn't going to hurt anybody. but it violated all their procedures on how to do it. And for them to go locate it, find it, if it spilled, did leak into a ditch or whatever the case may be, they use sniffer drones. They use drones that can sniff for the nuclear material. And that may have been, although the government has not really admitted this because they don't like to talk about nuclear waste material shipments. They're usually classified. That may have been some of the intense drone activity going up and down different areas looking to sniff for where that nuclear material was at. I have no report saying about that they were successful finding it or whatever, but the official reports are there's no problem, there's no threat, it's okay. And so as to whether or not that waste shipment leakage was part of the drone intense effort, we don't know, but coincidentally, that's what took place. We want you to continue to pray for the hostages. The yellow pin indicates we're still hoping that they can come home soon. Hopefully, they've been over there for more than 440 days. Then we need to pray that Hamas operatives participate honestly in the negotiations and get this thing ready to go. Our nation is still in transition. The Trump presidency is about to take effect next month. And of course, we're looking for Israel's continued victory in the Middle East with what's going on. Still paying close attention to the threat that's coming from Iran as they get backed into the corner. Thank you again for viewing this program. And please consider joining lionandlamb.tv, our subscription service, not only to get this broadcast every week without interruption, but also to get the other materials that we offer for the teaching ministry of Lion and Lamb Ministries. Blessings to all of you. Shabbat shalom to all of you.